You're listening to True Stories Told Live. Welcome to Speakeasy, where our tellers get on stage with their whole, authentic, beautifully human selves and speak their experience. No notes, just the memory of a life lived. On our stage, you'll hear humor, hope, embarrassment, disappointment, grief, lust, anger, love, remembrance, the whole brilliant and nuanced spectrum of what it is to live as individuals in community with others. Here at Speakeasy, our incredibly gracious audience holds all of it, sighing together, laughing together, crying together, and cheering our hearts out together. There's a symbiotic thing we've got going here between our tellers and our listeners, where each person creates that sacred space that just unflinchingly holds each other's stories, where we bear bits of our souls and bear witness. Join us the first Thursday of every month in Columbus, Ohio, at 7 p.m., where we gather at Wild Goose Creative, nestled in amongst the gallery's newest art exhibit. With a simple theme as inspiration, 10 tellers sign up, brave up, step up in front of a microphone, and get honest. What you're about to hear is one of those stories.
Thanks for doing this. Storytellers are cool. So I grew up in Southwest Ohio. I'm as Midwestern gets, but my daddy was a good old boy from Alabama. And he ran to the North when he was 15, and by the North, I mean Louisville, Kentucky, where he did not finish high school on time. He met my mom in 1970, and he was just a truck driver that had survived three bouts in the Army and the Marine Corps in the 60s and 70s, and he married her. And a few years later, I'm there. My daddy was a truck driver. He didn't like it. He romanticized it, I think, was the better option than dreading it. It's what he knew how to do. He could push a clutch and shift gears and back up 54 feet of wheels and tires and steel with the best of them. That's what he did. So it was when I was 5 years old, it became normal in the summer that my mother would pack a bag and put me in the passenger seat of my daddy's truck, and I would be gone for 3 weeks. And so it was just my mother and my little brother for 3 weeks. Then I'd get back, my dad would do his laundry and clean the truck, and we would switch. It was my turn to be home and my brother's turn to be on the road. And we did this our entire childhood, and I saw 40 states before I finished fifth grade. Now, I saw it from 9 feet above the interstate at 59 miles an hour, but I saw it. And you saw lots of things. I remember being at the loading docks in Chicago and seeing Manhattan, seeing the fields of Kansas and Iowa, again, at 59 miles an hour from up here, looking down there. Truck stops and diners and my dad's styrofoam coffee and the smell of a Camel cigarette and the sound of a Zippo and black coffee in the morning sitting next to me. I loved it. But I remember the first time I woke up to that sound of the Zippo and the Camel cigarette and the smell of the styrofoam black coffee in the cup holder, when I rolled out of the sleeper, there was a new noise. It wasn't traffic. It wasn't loading docks. It wasn't honking horns or foreman on a dock or the sound of the forklift coming out of the trailer. It was the sound of waves hitting sand. Warren County, Ohio, we don't have waves that hit sand. We have Caesars Creek, and the waves don't lap at Caesars Creek. I remember sitting up in the seat and seeing the beach for the first time. And he had a hot chocolate for me and a donut, which is a little fat kid's favorite. But we left the beach quickly. I barely got my toes in the sand, and we were on the road, and we were leaving. I remember seeing the beach in the rearview as we left this public parking spot where he had parked for the night. And we headed away from the water to where palm trees and fields were before us. But that's when I saw it. Those magical ears on the light poles. I had never been to Florida, but I knew what those ears were. And as you get closer to the center of Florida, the ears become more prominent. We stopped at a truck stop, and my dad took the trailer off the truck, which is rare to do that. You didn't do that unless you were loading or unloading. And we kept going toward the big ears. And he pulled to the gate of the Magic Kingdom in his semi. behind the station wagons and sedans. And he leaned out the window and explained he was not there for a delivery or a pickup. He was there for the Magic Kingdom. They took his parking fee. We went in the gate and parked next to the cars with his 18-wheeler. Now, getting in and out of an 18-wheeler is cool at a truck stop, but if you've ever done it in Disney World parking lot, that's better. It's pretty cool. Someone once said that memory is just history with a bias to the beautiful or to the tragic. I don't remember how this poor truck driver family afforded Disney in 1980, but we did. And I remember walking in that gate, and I remember some few things distinctly. Like, you could still smoke, and my dad was smoking, left-handed. If you shift gears to the right hand, you always smoke left-handed. But I also remember seeing the Lee jeans and the black pocket comb in the back pocket, and my dad had James Dean jet black hair pulled back in these 1970s sideburns he wore till the 90s. And he wore cowboy boots. And that's how he went into the Magic Kingdom. Like, another day on the dock, another day shifting gears, didn't matter to him. In we go. Full experience. Ears, ice cream, candy, ride this again, do this. It was better than the truck stops where the ladies would spoil you with extra pie and all the pop you could drink. This was on a new level. But I remember the end of the night, the lights go down, and he found a spot on the street corner, and we just hung out there. And I didn't know why I was hanging out. And then, if you've been there, you know the music starts, and then the light starts, and then the band comes around the corner, and then there is Mickey Mouse on a float. And my dad, this hawking of a redneck truck driver, hoists me up so I could see above the crowd. And I remember waving to Mickey. Mickey waved back. I'm sure he waved back to everybody, right? Like, I'm sure, but for me, that moment, he was waving to the poor kid whose daddy was a truck driver because he saw me. I was convinced, and I thought, we were here for the parade. That was amazing. How did he get us from Ohio to Florida to off the beach to the, for the parade? I lived my whole life, 28 years, amazed by this feat of my Superman of a father, that he arranged all this. When I became a father, I swore off Lee jeans and cowboy boots. I never kept enough hair for a black pocket comb, but I swore that my kids would see the world. So I get to take them to Disney. They're six and four. And we had grandparents living in Florida at the time, and they take us to Disney. And my wife's grandmother was saying, like, yeah, hey, we're going to see the parade today. Do you want to see the 3 o'clock parade or the evening parade? And I stopped. I said, excuse me? She goes, well, there are 2 parades every day. I'm like, every day? She goes, every day. I'm like, I'm sorry. And so suddenly, this thing that I'd built up just happens for thousands of kids twice a day, every day for 40 years. My dad did nothing. He just got me. So that memory that I had created suddenly has been altered until we decide on the night parade. And my own 2 kids are there, who I wanted to kill multiple times throughout the day. The damn ears, the ice cream, the cake, the toys, the candy. No, you can't have it. Yes, you can have it. The rides, this ride, that ride. I got whiplash. I wanted to kill them until we got to the corner and the lights went down. The music started up, and I knew what was going to happen before those 2 knucklehead boys of mine that were 4 and 6 knew what was going to happen. And I grabbed my little Andrew, little blonde-haired, cutest kid. I hoist him up, and around the corner, no Mickey Mouse. Now, Andrew is not fazed. He was born in 2002. Mickey Mouse, that's 80s stuff. Buzz Lightyear is the Grand Marshal. And he does that thing where he's like, and he does a wing dip nod to my Andrew. And my Andrew is here, where I had been 2.5 generations before. Buzz nods, dips the wings. Andrew, this is the pinnacle. This is his moment, him and Buzz on the corner. I think about it often. than how I'd romanticize this moment. And I recently was in my son's room. He's home from college for a co-op, and I was in his room. I was doing a quick check for marijuana and other substances. He's a jazz musician studying engineering, so I think it's part of the curriculum or something. I'm not really sure. But amongst the stacks of sneaker boxes on the top of the bureau are the Mickey ears that I stood in line for, to have his name in full stitched on the back. And I wanted to kill him for that line at 8 o'clock at night. But it occurred to me that that moment, 4 or 5 years old, the dip of Buzz's wings, that someday he's going to tell that same story, void of what that cost me on my credit card, my personal sanity, and the gray hair that was formed that day, just like my dad did almost 30 years before. Thank you. Yeah.